HarperCollins presents The 20-something Treatment, a revolutionary remedy for an uncertain age. Written and read by Dr. Meg J.
For Jay and Hazel, and for 20-somethings everywhere. Author's note. This audiobook is about my work as a clinical psychologist and educator who specializes in 20-somethings. I tell the personal and sometimes poignant stories of clients and students and readers who have taught me about the 20-something years. To protect their privacy, I have changed the names and the details of their lives. In some cases, I have created composites from those with similar experiences and with whom I had similar conversations. I hope every 20-something who listens to this audiobook sees themselves in the vignettes I include, but a resemblance to any particular 20-something is coincidental. Introduction. The 20-something treatment. The best way to deal with everyday problems of living is to solve them directly or to wait them out, not to medicalize them with a diagnosis or treat them with a pill. Overcoming problems on your own normalizes the situation, teaches new skills, and brings you closer to the people who were helpful. Taking a pill labels you as different and sick, even if you really aren't. Alan Francis, Saving Normal. When Josie sat down in my office for the first time, she told me she was feeling better. She had called my office for an appointment a few weeks earlier, so I thought perhaps the problem had passed or improved. That happens a lot. Rather, Josie told me, she had gone to see a general practitioner who prescribed an antidepressant and two types of anti-anxiety medication. That happens a lot, too. Before the medication, Josie was tossing and turning at night, she said. She was worrying all the time and crying too much. The worst of it was when she had what she called an anxiety attack. An anxiety attack, I said, using her words and not presuming to know what she meant. Yeah, she said, closing her eyes and shaking her head, like she didn't want to think about it. My heart started racing and my skin was tingling and the room went white. I thought I was going to pass out. What brought that on, I wonder, I said, searching for context. Nothing. I don't know. Josie shrugged, shaking her head again. I was sitting in a training session in this conference room at work, and a call popped up on my phone from an unknown number, and something about that. Another unknown. Another unknown, I echoed. Yeah, I have a new job, Josie explained. When I first started, I'd get so anxious about going to a meeting, I'd be late for it. Or I was so worried about getting some task right, I wouldn't finish it on time. Every time I saw my boss or opened my email, I thought I was going to get fired. Josie reached for a tissue and folded it into a small square. You probably think I'm a snowflake or something, she continued, sniffling a bit and dabbing her eyes with the square. That there's all this awful stuff going on in the world, and I'm having an anxiety attack about my phone. That isn't what I was thinking, I said. I was thinking that your situation sounds stressful and quite common. It is stressful, Josie emphasized, picking up on the first part of what I'd said. Since she started taking medication, Josie told me, she wasn't feeling so anxious anymore. She was, however, sleeping a lot, including nodding off in a meeting. When she wasn't sleeping, she felt too sluggish to get much done, which was only creating new problems at work. All my problems started when I got this job, Josie said, now through tears. Well, that and my boyfriend and I broke up. It's lonely because I just moved here last year and I hardly even know anybody. Plus, I'm freaking out because the doctor I saw diagnosed me with panic disorder, and I didn't even know I had that. Now I'll probably need this medication for the rest of my life. I wouldn't be so sure, I said. Medication is sometimes, but not always, the best medicine. Yet more and more young adults are in danger of being over-medicated and over-diagnosed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?